This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
The topic, solving problems. Solving problems. I noticed a development recently with the pattern of prayer requests that were coming in, especially those that has to do with certain life issues. Seems people just want God to solve problems that they should solve or that they have been empowered to solve for themselves. It is understandable if in the course of doing our work, we make certain mistakes and then we turn to God for help. It is not understandable if you are a farmer and the season of planting corn came, you did not plant corn, and then when the season has gone and others are harvesting, you write a letter to me and say to me, you would like me to bless the seed, the seedling. You want to plant them during the time of harvest so that you can harvest within a week or two, that God has the power to make them grow. If you have ever watched Peter Pan, when I was young, I used to watch the cartoon, or I watched the cartoon once or twice, and the magic beans. You must be wary of people that will prey on corn, that the corn may grow overnight. It may grow in such a way that you will find yourself in trouble if you carry you all the way to heaven. What I'm saying, in essence, is there is a time for everything, and there is a role for us to play as believers. We must not leave everything to God. A husband who is working, earning money, but refuses to take care of his responsibilities at home, would rather spend this money on enjoyment, enjoying his life, then therefore school fees comes to God, begins to pray in tongues. The time for house rent comes to God, begins to pray in tongues. And the wife reaches out saying, Bragminga, you see, we should have been in this problem. My husband is a poor manager of finances. He earns so amount. But all he does is go out with his friends, buy PS5, play games, live irresponsibly. But when he send the letter home from the children's school asking for school fees, he will now go on his knees and begin to pray. I find that a bit ridiculous. I find it sounds to me like mocking God. A woman who is working, is earning money, is supposed to solve problems with the money she's earning, but says that with a quarter of her salary goes to her parents because she, her older brother, and one other cousin, three of them, they want to help their father to furnish his parents' building, parents' house. Then you take all the money, you send it to your parents, at the detriment of your own family And then your husband begins to give you attitude because he is bringing everything he has to the table, but it wasn't enough. And you insisted that your own money is for your parents. That's irresponsible. So it seems to me like people do these things deliberately knowing that it is wrong. And yet they just do it, believing that God will just fill the gap, that they can leave a lacuna, and then God should just wave a magic wand and just fill the gap. A man who has no job, but who is a Christian. You see somebody who just finished building his house. Only God knows how many years the person labored to build or to gather the money to build. The house is fine. You went to the house, you took off your shoe. You are walking around, you are saying you possess somebody else's property. I received the key to this house. I possess it. It is mine. You are a thief. We should be talking to each other in such a way that all of us would at least be sure that we are reasonable, right-thinking people. So it is not an excuse for arrant nonsense or madness. You are sick. You turn to God in a place of prayer. Lord, I'm not feeling well. What do I do? The Lord did not say anything to you. The next thing to do then is to go to the hospital. There is power in prayer. There is also solution in knowledge. For you to insist that I don't want to go to the hospital. I will insist on this mountain and die on this mountain. You better go and arrange a coffin. Don't bother calling me. There's no point. Because, of course, you know what you meet with me is going to be practical Christianity. I work in the supernatural. I understand supernatural solutions to supernatural issues. And I also understand that there are material solutions to material issues. I understand that there's a room for one who needs help to get help. And there's a need for one who needs divine intervention to get divine intervention. One does not make the other of less value. You cannot be borrowing money from PamPay to pay fair money. They borrow money from Access Bank to pay GT Bank. Deeply investing yourself in indebtedness simply because you are funding a lifestyle that you cannot afford. And then you turn to prayer. We should, as much as possible, avoid digging holes for ourselves. We should, as much as possible, decide that we are going to live as kings. Because in all the cases I have mentioned, bad decision always spirals out of control. Always. For the person who was giving money to her parents while not taking care of issues at home, it will lead to a quarrel with the husband. Quarrel will lead to strong words being exchanged. Strong words being exchanged will lead to pain. You will now take offense and see what he said to me. And he will take offense, see what she said to me, making your marriage unhappy. The children will watch the fight, and the children will become affected. At the end of the day, one bad decision will lead to so many strains in both your relationship, maritally, with your children, even your own mental health and rest of mind. The man that goes away collecting money to enjoy his life, to go clubbing, to carry women, to do nonsense, he does not want to lose his family. He wants the children's school fees to be paid. He wants to be seen as a responsible man. Then, when the opportunity to prove that he's responsible comes, he turns to prayer. Then he becomes an object of mockery for his wife. Schools will send him messages. People that are not supposed to insult him, they will say, "Mr. So and so, you should do better." Landlord will call and begin to berate. Next thing, they will say they are taking him to court. Next thing, they will say they want to park his load outside. Next thing, he has heart palpitation, high blood pressure. It begins to affect his health. The wife is crying. He's unhappy. He's calling relatives. Why not spare yourself this kind of issues? Why can't you just spare yourself? So that you can face family tasks. There are things to do in Christ that are upward and forward. To continue to self-sabotage in the name of "I can pay it out" is foolishness. Somebody needs to say it. And I'm sorry that it is me, but even if maybe I'm not really sorry, somebody needs to say it. Staff have to think better. We are not doing well in the area of thinking. If you don't plant when you're supposed to plant, what then do you expect to harvest when others are harvesting? So that means you have missed the whole season of harvest because you are thinking of miracle corn. I can imagine somebody writing to me that I have my the corn that I'm supposed to plant. I still have them. I just want to bless them. I can catch up. Really? And you expect me in good faith to say, "Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless this corn. As soon as I plant them, let them begin to sprout like Peter Pan's." And of all the people you can talk to me to do that. Of course, I'm not going. I'm going to laugh, and then I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to say that I'm not a serious person, and I will not mince words. You can't call me. Maybe 6 months ago, things were very bad. Now, this happened also very recently. Things were so bad, you reached out to me, said, "Baragwinga, my life is over. I'm about to get thrown out of my house." And I said, "Okay, what is the problem? This is crisis. What is the problem?" "Oh, it's one spiritual attack after another. You mentioned so many things." I said, "Okay, it's okay. Let me help you deal with it. You're an adult, but you'll find yourself in a quandary. Let's sort it out." Prayed with you. God restored your marriage. God then gave you two contracts, and you made a lot of money. As soon as you made the money, you went on holiday to Miami. Holiday. Understand that somebody can, they say that somebody cannot work all the time. Somebody who worked hard should also enjoy his life. I have no problem. Except that you came back now, and now you are saying to me that you are telling me now that you have spent all your money. You didn't save anything from the contracts you received. You didn't save nothing. You didn't look at the future. You spent all your money now because you are broke. Again, your wife is not happy because this is a pattern with you. And now you and your wife are separated because you don't have money to pay your bills, to to discharge your duty as a man. And then you call me and you say, I want you to give me a prophetic word. Is that not insulting to me? Is that not insulting to me that you would call me demanding for a prophetic word because there is a pattern? What pattern? You are the pattern. You have a pattern of irresponsible decision making that is sabotaging your joy, your marriage, your life. How is that my problem? So, when did that become something that I should solve for you? When did that become an issue that will concern me? Like, for real, let's look at it logically. Do you think that God called me to wear pampers for adults? Do I look like a nurse? An adult, you make decisions. You live with the consequences. It is one of the basic understanding of adulthood. We make decisions for children. We live with the consequences of the decisions we make for our children. Either we damage them or not, either we take care of them or not. As adults, we do that for our children. But as soon as those children become adults, we tell them, it's one of the things I tell my teen son, hey, sit down. You are making decisions that are consequences. Don't forget that. That is what it means to be an adult. You cannot just do anything now and say, I have a daddy. You can't. You have to understand that if the consequence comes, if it's a good consequence, both of us will hug. I will tell the whole world, I'm proud of you. I'm going to even maybe surprise you with some gift or something. But if the decision you made was bad, the consequence is bad. I'm going to tell you to your face, I'm disappointed in you. I'm not going to coddle you. I'm saying that to teenagers. And now I'm talking to 30-year-olds. And they're making me think, really? Like, really? I'm saying this to adults? Please. Spare me. Remember that it is not a good place to be as an adult that you repeat the same pattern of issues over and over again. And I mean that with all my heart. Adults know what they need to be happy. Then they go for it. If you're here, you're single as a man, and you know that, oh, I'm dying of loneliness. You will not call me and say, but I'm being guy, yeah, I'm lonely all the time. Yeah. You go and look for a wife. Some people are there, there's a solution to it. What is the prayer for? He will find a wife, finds a good thing, and obtain favor from the Lord. You step out to say, okay. I'm lonely. This single life is killing me. I need to get a wife. That's end of story. Once you get a wife, problem of loneliness is solved. Now, you understand the kind of loneliness I'm talking about when it comes to marriage. I know that some people can be married and yet be lonely, but it's as a result of not marrying right. Just have to marry right. But you cannot insist. That you don't want anything to do with marriage or relationship. And be praying to God that He should come and cure loneliness. That's not fair. We are created as social beings. By nature, we must interact with others. God deliberately made it so that we are not self-sufficient in terms of social reality. Sometimes our body just needs a hug to be fine. Because having a hug releases some good hormones, dopamine, or what do they call it? So God deliberately made us in such a way that we cannot isolate ourselves from people. So again, solve the problem, find a solution. If we will learn to solve problems, we will notice that the things we are supposed to be praying about are supposed to be the things that the Spirit of God would inform us to pray about. Let me say that again. Because the scriptures say, I pray in the spirit and I pray in understanding also, which means what we pray about in understanding is what we are led to pray about by the spirit. So usually a Christian is supposed to just pray in tongues, and then the Holy Spirit will then inspire him with words. The word the Holy Spirit give him is what he will then use to pray in understanding. And if you pray in this pattern, you will notice that the Holy Spirit will not be talking about the things that you are writing down as prayer requests. Our prayer requests are mostly very funny because they are consequences of actions or inactions that are owing to our decision making. So let's make better decisions. Understand if you've done everything you ought to do and then things didn't work out ahead, then we can say, come on, this is your adult. This person did everything that is required of him. She did everything that is required of her, spent her money well, saved, did everything. Okay, so how come? So we can then say, okay, here we need divine wisdom. We need to be taught what to do. We need to pray. But when somebody is irresponsible, and then the person says, oh, let us pray. So which God? For what reason? It is important that as believers, we are thinking believers. It's very important. If you find yourself in a relationship where your partner is abusive, don't say, if I let him go or if I let her go, where will I find another person? That's one of the silliest excuses I ever found in my life. Because this one is costing you much more than being alone and cost you your life. Can cost you your relationship with your family. Can cost you your relationship with those who really love you. If you count the cost, you can know when you are in a place where you should say, this is not the path to go. As an adult, it's a decision you have to make. I remember a lady I admire so much, Jocke Silva. She's an actor. Had 3 children, I believe. Maybe 3 or 4, I'm not sure, but had some children. So I was lecturing at the University of Illinois at the time, and then a last one had an accident and died. As soon as that child died, I kid you not, they buried the child. This woman went to the hospital, removed their birth control, got pregnant immediately again, and gave birth to another child. Very pragmatic. Thinking person, not somebody that will cry, ah, I told God I want 3, now there are 2. Ah. No. Buried that child, mourned, moved on, got pregnant, delivered. When I was a journalist, I interviewed her for a magazine, and I saw the child, that the baby at home, and I saw the age difference between that child and the older ones. So I was like, what? Mama, you have a baby at this age. Like, you're already in your 40s or even very, and you still had a baby. And then she said, no, that wasn't the plan. That she had 3 children. That was the plan. But that one of them died. And as soon as that one died, she told herself, I'm going to have my 3 children. I don't need to pray about this. I don't need to fast. I don't want to adopt. And I went to the hospital to remove the birth control. My third child, my prayer was answered. She did not have to go to Thanksgiving, see prophet, see pastor, solving problems. That's pragmatic thinking. I admire that in people. What I wouldn't like is that when I met her, she would tell me, oh, God took him away. I will keep my dad. And then would that mean if we got to be saying, no, that is not the way of God. Let us pray, madam. Let me lay hands on you. Oh, Holy Ghost. That he was so pragmatic. That's how to solve problems. you look at the sum of things, like, okay, this is the issue. Okay, what is my responsibility here? What is my role here? Then you play that role. You are sitting at home. There is no job. There's somebody I know. 6 years ago, there are two people. 4 years ago, I met two of them 4 years ago, around the same time. They reached out to me on social media. I taught them in PSSBC, both of them. One, as soon as finished PSSBC, stepped out of the house, took it as a duty to succeed. And today, he's on his way there. Do you know the other one is still, he's still at the same spot, the same complaint of 2001 or 2021. The same. I couldn't get a good job. I'm just managing somewhere. Life is not good. That is still the same thing is repeating till now. How can a father have two children? And the two of them will be so different. And by father, I didn't mean myself. I mean God. How can God? Both of them are born again, full of the Holy Spirit. And while one took practical steps to move forward in life and brave the reality of life. And as soon as he began to move forward, he began to find a way out of his predicament. The other one is complaining, loaded with complaints, daily complaints. And I wonder, is it not the same template that I used to teach the first? That I used to teach the second. I taught the two of them. There is a lot of practical Christianity that we have. Problems we create. We grow by the problems we solve, not by the problems we create. If you create a problem, solve it. If a problem comes your way, solve it. However, the more you solve problems, the more experience you get, the more resources come your way, the more people entrust you with problem-solving abilities, the more you grow, the better you become. So run away from problems, from solving problems, and then drop problems at the feet of God. That is irresponsible. God will not do for a man what a man has been empowered to do. It is important that in this month of dominion, this is the mindset we have. Solve problems. If you find yourself in a place where you're not supposed to be, dig yourself out of it. If you have to apologize to people, apologize to people. Now, I got a report from my brother maybe yesterday or 2 days ago about somebody that is writing to people, destroying somebody, assassinating character. I was like, why is this person behaving like this? I didn't hear two or three of it, but when I heard it, I was like, what kind of behavior? What kind of behavior? You have no right to behave like this. I just come into somebody's life. All you have is emotional transaction, and you want to ruin the person's entire family because of your own emotion. What is wrong with you? You're creating problems. People that are supposed to be positively disposed to, who are supposed to be positively disposed to you as Christians, are deliberately spiting everybody. What is wrong? The people need help. I know, and I'm trying to offer the help. Please solve problems. I'm begging you, in this month of dominion, solve problems. Be deliberate about it. Dig yourself out of that hole. Bring yourself out of that trouble. Apologize to those who have to apologize to. Rectify the relationship where you know you are wrong. Keep your ego out of it. Solve problems. That way, you can move forward and gain dominion outwardly. Thank you, Father, for your church. Thank you because we speak to each other as siblings every day and we learn from one another. I pray that your word, as they have heard it, those who ought to adjust will adjust. Others will learn. All of us will grow in stature. You will be pleasing, we will be pleasing in your sight as we delight in you. So in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, Glory!
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 Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.